Hoggity.
Ben, sorry.
You busy?
I'm sorry. No. I got off of work early. I just got involved in other things and I lost track of time. I apologize.
You mean you have other interests? You do other things?
Yeah, as exciting as this sounds, I made soup.
Well, soup.
I have my soup right now.
Soup can
right
be
now.
Fun.
I'm gonna. Yeah. So I'm eating soup while I'm talking to you.
Oh, good. I know our listeners love it when you eat.
Yep, it was going to be great. I have the microphone far enough away from me that hopefully it won't make that much noise.
Well, hopefully it's close enough to you that we can actually hear what you're saying.
Exactly. The best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So how's it going, Ben?
It's going all right. It's going all right. It's a balmy day here in the Pacific Northwest.
It's time to play How Warm Is It There, do you think?
How warm is it?
Don't look on your phone. Maybe guess.
Not looking anywhere. I'm going to say that the daytime high today was probably 52 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Comparable here. Although this morning it was 24 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cold at night and then it gets kind of warm during the day.
Yeah. It was, it's been kind of, I mean, it's not been consistent, the weather here. Like, yesterday it rained buckets. Today, not a drop.
Yeah.
And the temperature's been fluctuating. I have two standard jackets that I wear. A big, heavy one, rainproof one, and, like, a lighter jacket that is not rainproofed at all. And I swear to God, I've been wearing each one every other day. Because sometimes it's too warm for the big jacket and too cold for the small one.
So you've been choosing correctly, though.
I have, yes.
Because that was one of my problems in Seattle, is that I'd always wear the wrong jacket.
Yeah, well, actually...
You know, not that I wasn't checking the weather or anything, it's just that, you know, it turned out to be wrong.
That's one of the luxuries of not having to show up at an office at 9 a.m. I can wait until the weather kind of evens out about mid-morning.
Now, man, the last time I talked to you, you were working, doing IT support at a video editing place. Is that still what you do?
No, I don't do that anymore. It's actually, in fact, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why we restarted this podcast last February is because I stopped working there.
Wait, really?
Yeah, so it's been about a year since I've worked there. And I had my days free, so I'm like, hey, I should call Paul.
Wait, what are you doing now? What's your job now?
I do various contract editing gigs.
Oh, all right. Say no more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So wait, are you freelance then?
Yeah.
Or, oh, well, look at that.
Sitting here at Annex.
Nice. I don't know why I thought that you were... Had you been working there ever? Like, did you come in... Like, they asked you to help out one time?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was an interesting thing. It started off as, pardon me, it started off as a part-time, like, 5 to 10 hours a week or on-call gig to come in and help with their IT.
Yep.
And that lasted for about 7 months. And then the company needed me to come in full-time. And so I started working there full-time, but still on a W-9, so I was still technically a freelancer there.
That's something that happens.
Yeah, so I was getting, you know, I was getting regular hours, which was great, but I, you know, I still had to pay for my own health insurance, still had to pay my own taxes and all that fun stuff. But the thing is, so I basically created a job there. Because they had the reason I came in is because they had one guy who was doing like three things, and IT was one of his one things. He's like one of the, you know, like employee number four, you know. And
right.
When he left, they needed someone to come in and mind the data fields. And after I was doing it for about a year, they realized that was actually a full time job. And
yes.
I was basically asked if I wanted it. I flat out said no. I don't like doing IT. I don't want the company's entire data archives and assets to be on my shoulders. Because
yes, I get that.
Because I don't know networking at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
anything like that. So some sleepless nights when, like, say, the air conditioner went out in the server room, which happened more than once. So so they basically hired someone else to do that job full time, and I was able to step back. I'm still friends with everybody. Well, I mean, they're right down the street. I see them all the time. So, and that's my story.
Sorry. You stopped talking right when I took a bite of soup.
A bite
that
of
happened
soup?
More than once. You'll hear it. Yeah. A bite of soup.
All right.
A spoonful of soup. This is a pretty chunky soup. Let me tell you, Ben. This is soup made out of two old KFC drumsticks, a handful of cheese, and some potatoes.
Sounds
and
more
it's
like
great.
Sounds more like a stew. You got some drumsticks in there?
No. I mean, they're shredded up.
Oh, I see.
But so, Ben, not a lot has happened.
I'm laughing at you guys. I'm laughing at this video I'm watching.
Okay. Betty's watching a video.
Oh, good.
And laughing at it.
How was Betty's birthday? Did you guys do anything fun?
For Betty's birthday, we bought her a phone. And so she's been using it pretty much like she was using my old phone.
But now you have your phone back.
This is an important thing.
Yeah.
If we need to... Well, no. That was my... It was my
old phone. Oh,
your old phone.
I got you.
I still have that one, yeah. I might do something with it. I'm thinking about turning it into... just putting GarageBand on it and turning it into a synthesizer.
There's a lot of things you can do. I have a number of old iPhones that I use for various purposes.
So, yeah. I just have to get a better auxiliary out for it, and then I should be good for that. So you use it to bolster my my musical stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
We had this fear, you know, when we would leave, you know, well, what if an emergency comes up? You know, she's pretty old now.
Yeah.
But we had to have her way to contact us.
Yeah.
So Jennifer would leave her phone with her. Now she's got her own phone. It works out great.
Cool.
And also, if she wants to go to a friend's house or whatever, she's not necessarily trapped.
What grade is she in? What grade are you in when you're 11 years old?
Betty is in fifth grade.
Okay.
And she's going to be joining the ranks of the middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah, sixth grade.
Sixth grade, yep.
In my school district, when I grew up, middle school was only seventh and eighth grades.
Oh, wow. Well, see, we had that, but we called it junior high.
Ah.
Same concept.
Yeah. I mean, we called it... It was Chinook Middle School, which is the technical name for it. Yeah, I can't... I think I was a latchkey kid by the fifth grade.
Do you know what a Chinook is, Ben?
It's two things. It's a type of salmon, and it's also a tribe, a Native American tribe. And
it's
so,
also a type of weather.
The reasons I mentioned the Native American tribes and salmon is because when I was going there, we were the warriors, and our mascot was a very stylized, almost like a woodcut of an Indian chief's head. But
gotcha.
They have since rebranded them. I don't know if they're still the Warriors, but the logo is now a fish.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. As opposed to it being David Patrick Kelly with some beer bottles on his fingers. Anybody? Warriors. Come on. Warriors come out to play. Ben, have you not seen the Warriors? Have we talked about this?
I have not seen the Warriors, no.
It's an episode of How Dare You with Ben Lawrence. Ben, you got to see the Warriors.
All right. Sell me on the Warriors. Why should I see it?
It's set in the 70s. I think it was filmed in the 70s, which helped. It's street gangs. And there's a street gang called the Warriors, and they're trying to get back to Coney Island. That's basically the story.
It's their home base is Coney Island?
Yes, exactly. And there's a whole bunch of gang fighting and stuff like that. It's actually based on a... I thought it was based on the Odyssey, and I looked it up, and it's not actually based on the Odyssey, but it is based on people trying to get back from a war. I believe Greeks, but maybe Romans. think it's Greeks. I think it's Greeks trying to get back from a war.
Pretty
interesting stuff.
A lot of battle stories, I'm guessing, about warriors trying to make their way back home.
Indeed. And in this case, a lot of things that you've seen in other TV shows or movies have been taken from that movie, basically. It's iconic.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Who's in it? Anybody that Indeed. I would know? Not personally, but offhand?
Well, okay, I'm not using my...
get it wrong, Paul.
Yeah. Okay, there's a guy. His name I can't think of, but he plays a character named Ajax. And he is in a bunch of different things.
that narrows it down.
None of which I can name.
All right.
At this time. But he's one of those guys. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
You know if you saw him.
That character actor from the 70s.
It's not Michael Wincott, but it's a name like that where you're just like, oh, this guy.
Michael Ironside?
What's that?
Michael Ironsides?
No. But he's kind of... he's a guy kind of like that. He's sort of a tough guy. He's not John Saxon. He's not Michael Ironside. But he's not as famous as those guys either. Like, I know him from the Warriors, so whenever he shows up, I'm like, hey,
all right,
it's that guy.
All right. Well, maybe I'll check it out in my copious free time that I don't have lately. I was talking to the gang at Comics Dungeon last night because we had our Perfect Bound podcast recording, and I mentioned you because we were talking about Emerald City Comic Con, which is coming up in a couple weeks, and I asked Nicole, who is going to be manning the booth there at ECCC, if she can get Vincent D'Onofrio's autograph for you.
Oh yes.
And she said no.
well, that's fine.
She's not going to be able to leave the booth.
She's going to be manning a booth. Why would she have time to do that?
So I'm like, if he shows up, you know, if Vincent D'Onofrio comes to the Comics Dungeon booth, then, you know, have him sign something.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
But
if,
I don't know.
He actually can.
I don't know how much she's charging for signatures.
Did you mention Rat Queen to her, or the Rat Queens?
I did not mention Rat Queens to her, no. I had forgotten about that.
So I do notice that the Rat Queens are sitting on the dining room, living room kind of chest kind of thing that we put our stuff on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Jennifer has read them or is interested in them. One of the things that weirded her out is there was a character named Betty in it.
Ah.
So that's kind of weird.
I do have a comic sitting on my dresser that I've been asked to read by the owner of Comics Dungeon, which is Deadpool Dead Presidents Volume 1, which is written by Brian Posehn.
Yes. I haven't read it, but I know of it and have been meaning to read it at some point in time.
Yeah. Scott, the owner of Comics Dungeon, wants us to read books out of our comfort zones, all four of us. And so he handed out a bunch of comics to us that he didn't think we would naturally pick up. And he could have picked anyone in the store because I don't naturally read comics. But
But this one it's funny because, it is sort of one of the ones that you maybe would want to read.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, and because I was happy to see that there were actually lots of them, so if I liked it, I could continue on.
Yeah, you and I met Brian Posehn.
We did.
And he's great.
Yeah, he seemed quite genuine. I don't remember if he asked us if we had pot on us, but he probably would have.
I don't think he did, or if he did, it was a joke.
Yeah.
The thing that I had bought the What the Heck Happened, Mr. Show, or What the Hell Happened, I forget, the Mr. Show,
the book?
Sort of,
tome?
I was going to say biography, but it's a show, I don't know what you call that.
Yeah.
And I had them, and I wanted them to write in it what they were thinking, or what they might be saying, like it was a little word balloon.
Ah.
And I remember that his was you look like a wet cigar, I think was the thing that he had him say. But I think when he was asking, it was either him or John Ennis, when I asked them to sign, asked me if I wanted them to sign Always Know Your Dealer.
That was a John Ennis line from the show, so maybe that was him.
Yeah, it was him. And I was like, not really. You know, whatever. And I forget. I'll have to see what he wrote.
Yeah.
It might have been Always Know Your Dealer. He might have still done it.
Always Know Your Dealer.
But yeah, it's really, really weird. We've talked about this before on the podcast. The strange, odd timeline. What would have happened if we had emailed John Ennis when he asked us to email him?
With sketch ideas.
And I remember specifically we didn't want to do it because we thought that we were dumb. It was John Ennis doesn't really want our sketch ideas.
He's a big TV star. He doesn't. He's not going to like what we have to give him.
I'm wearing my
exactly.
glasses.
And now that I think about it, you know, we should have. There would have been, you know, now that we've gotten older, whatever.
Yeah.
I think might as well. Because then the story would be, remember that time we emailed John Ennis instead of remember that time when we didn't email John Ennis?
Yeah,
again,
know.
the worst thing in the world is where someone gets mad at you for not going to Tacoma. So,
yep.
I don't think anyone really got mad at us.
I do remember there being some blowback when it came out that we didn't actually go. Maybe
well,
it was from...
there was some immediate blowback from people who went to the IHOP.
Yeah,
who
caught us, who found out.
Yeah, and recognized us from the thing. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
But again, the whole point, and I remember now, we talked about this. The reason we didn't go, one, it was late, but two, and this is the big thing, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we both were kind of cognizant of the fact that the person who won was sort of uncomfortable with the idea of going all the way there. I thought that it was just because we didn't have the tape, but then I remembered that you and I were actually going to do it, but then we sort of felt the vibe of the situation. We're like, hey, why don't we just go over here?
Yeah, I think it was one of those things. You know, a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the end, what a story to tell, Ben.
And, you know, let's be honest. The IHOP on Madison is like the Tacoma in Seattle.
It is, really.
It's really a little bit of Tacoma.
There's a little bit of Tacoma right in the heart of the city.
In the middle of Capitol Hill.
Oh, hey! By the way, congratulations. Seattle, Washington. 9th highest rent in the entire world.
Excuse me.
Did you know that? In what category?
Ninth highest rent.
Oh, rent. I thought you said rank. Ninth highest rent in the entire world. I'll believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will believe it. It's insane around here.
I am glad that I moved. I'm sad that I moved, Ben, but I'm also glad that I moved.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, it was funny when your house got all cleaned up.
Uh-huh.
And I went back and spoke with the realtor during the open house. It looked really nice. I'm like, wow, I kind of want to live here now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did a good job then.
They did. They also, they power washed the steps, and it made a big difference.
Hmm. I couldn't even imagine that.
Just saying.
I think power washer. Jennifer is still friends with our landlords on Facebook.
On Facebook, wow.
I gotta say, not having Facebook, it's really interesting. It's harder to be friends with people that I don't know.
Yeah, just like the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in the
it
past.
It really is. I don't know, man. Someday, internet's gonna get shut off.
Make the internet great again.
Ugh, man. I was trying. I didn't say this to you, but I was trying to get through without mentioning. Although I did say the internet's going to get shut off, so you know.
Yeah.
I suppose I sort of broached that subject first.
Scott Augustin and I, when we were doing the show at Cafe Nordo last Christmas, would often ride the train home together and had lots of conversations about what we're going to do when the electricity goes down.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and the problem for me, the immediate problem, is that I would not be able to access my apartment building because I don't have a key to the front door. It's all operated by a key fob.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
So I got to just make sure that I am home when the grid goes down, and I can never leave.
Exactly. You have to stay. Did you ever see High Rise?
No, but judging by the Tom title, Hiddleston's I can guess what it's about.
Oh, the guy. Did you ever see A Field in England?
No.
Man, Ben.
How dare I?
Okay. You should see A Field in England. It's pretty good.
A Field in England. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But...
By High Rise.
The people who directed that directed High Rise, which is a film based on a movie by J.G. Ballard.
Okay.
That's all about this sort of.
Wait, did you say a film based on a movie?
Did I? I meant a book. I might have said movie. It's quite possible.
Films based on movies before. I just watched the remake of Evil Dead this last week.
Wait, somebody remade Evil Dead?
Yeah, in 2013.
Who played Ash?
There was no Ash. It was a reboot, a reimagining.
Oh, okay. Was it? I heard of that. I didn't know much about it, obviously, because I thought that there might be an Ash. But from what I remember, it was supposed to be rebooted as being pretty scary.
See, that's the
was
thing.
Was it scary?
It was not really scary.
Okay. I'm going to drink soup for a little bit while you talk, putting the microphone right up to my mouth so that you can hear it.
The trailers, I think it went through some reshoots or some re-editing before release because the trailers made it seem like it was going to be really, really gory. And really, I don't want to say disgusting, so bad it's fun, or so gross it's fun kind of thing. It's just really absurd. But that's not what ended up in the final cut. I was kind of disappointed in that. And the thing about Evil Dead, now I can understand them wanting to reboot the franchise because it's a great franchise and horror reboots are really big. But Evil Dead was great because it never really took itself very seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
The very first movie was, you know, these like teenagers trying to make a sincere horror film.
Excuse me again.
And then Evil Dead 2, they realize, all right, well, you know, it is what it is, so let's have fun with it. And then, you know, Army of Darkness was just a straight-up comedy.
Yes.
But this Evil Dead is trying to be a sincere horror film. And, you know, if they didn't call it Evil Dead, and if they changed if they didn't call them Deadites, I don't think they did call them Deadites, it probably would have been fine. But because I had just come off of watching season one of Ash versus Evil Dead,
right?
I have this image of what an Evil Dead property should be, and this didn't really live up to it. And it would have if they had stuck to like the gore that they had promoted in the trailer. And yet they ratcheted that down. They do claim that they used like 70,000 gallons of fake blood in the film, which was like for the time a record. I think it's since been beaten. And I will give him that. I will give them that. It does rain blood for like the last third of the movie. But overall, I give Evil Dead a pretty solid B-. And that's my movie review.
Talking to me. I'm not positive.
Is she looking?
She
at
might
you?
Be talking to me. She came through. And I think what she said is, I'm mad at you guys, or I'm disappointed in you guys. What? And I think that she was talking to me and Betty, not to me and you.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm doing the podcast.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I said I was getting disappointed in that show I was watching.
Oh, in the show. Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
What?
I thought you were talking about me and Ben, or me and Betty. I was confused. So what show are you watching that you're disappointed in?
Travelers.
Oh, Travelers.
I'm getting a little bit disappointed.
Oh, that's too bad. I kind of stayed away from it.
I haven't seen it. I haven't even heard of it.
I apologize. I did not realize.
Oh, no. No problems.
Oh, speaking about which, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Kick of the pants. Do you remember that? The video that Betty and I made a long time ago?
I do not.
It had sort of paper dolls in it. They were moving back and forth and stuff.
I do not remember
well,
this.
Well, we just recorded two new episodes of it.
Oh, good.
And it's, the first episode is 12 minutes long. No, 10 minutes long. And then the second episode is 12 minutes long. Directed by Betty.
Are they on the YouTubes?
Which, they are in the YouTubes. Now, here's the thing. They are, what would you call it? Hidden.
Okay.
So that you can only get to them if you have the URLs.
Right, right.
Which I will make available to you.
All right.
But I'm a little bit, you know, unsure because we didn't really vet anything. Does that make sense? So I don't know exactly how much, like if you can tell where I live from it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm not really going to care where you live.
Oh, no. I'm talking about leaving it public, Ben.
Right.
Ben.
Well, then don't make it public.
Man,
just make it private. A private video can still be watched if somebody has the link, or you can do that thing where it integrates with Google Plus, and you can share it with certain Google Plus members.
You know, I have a feeling about something that I just want to throw out there. You and I lived through George W. Bush's presidency.
Yep.
We might have talked about this last time. People thought that he was dumb.
Are you taking this conversation into a hard right turn?
Oh, no, not really. People thought he was dumb, and then 9/11 happened, and people kind of were all sort of, we got to pull together and all that.
Yeah.
And last week, I was talking about how history could repeat itself and it would be kind of the same thing. But today I started thinking that if a tragedy like that were to happen now, I don't know if it would necessarily bring people together like it did the last time. I think that it might actually like make people freak out more. And be like, he can't be in charge of the country anymore, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was a certain element of patriotism that perpetuated the country for the first few weeks after 9/11, and people were behind the president because he started taking a tough stance. But then he, you know, instead of going to where the terrorists came from.
Oh, right. You're right.
Instead of going to Afghanistan, I believe, he went to Iraq, and that's when he lost the public's trust. But
yeah,
that being said,
but it's still, he still got reelected and stuff like that. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's...
there's a number of reasons why he got, I mean, there's a number of excuses people on the left like to say as to why he got reelected. One of my favorite ones was, well, now this war belongs to him, you know? Yeah. Let's re-elect Bush. Let's, you know, let's make this his war instead of handing the keys of this war over to one of our guys. But I think you're right. I think if, a tragedy like that were to happen today, people will not rally around the president. People will blame him.
Yeah. It'll be, I don't know. It'll be, the way I would say it is this. It is always best to do the right thing. It's always best to tell the truth. It's always best to, you know. I had this whole, like, exegesis on lying. The thing about liars, right, is that they band together and they make, like, this sort of lattice work of their lies.
They're like fire
ants. So they all, they're like, well, you'll, I'll back you on your thing, you back me on my thing, and they, right. they make this sort of weird pact of, you know, lie stuff. But then if one of them falls, then the other one sort of push them out and cleave unto each other tighter, so that it's hard to get at the, it's like vampires, you know, you've got the main vampire.
Hmm.
And if you get that guy, then all the other vampires kind of scatter, all that sort of stuff. In that sort of way, it's different because, like, if the big guy goes away, there are still a whole bunch of other little guys who are like, hey, maybe now I'll be the big guy. And so it's sort of a self-perpetuating mass of confusion, and that's the big thing about lies, is that people aren't always taken in by them. It's just that they're fatigued by them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a friend of mine who wouldn't really give you a straight answer on a lot of stuff. He would, like, show up one day and he'd have a broken leg. And you're like, how did that happen? He's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. And so you never knew how his leg got broken, right? But it was broken, you know, at one point in time, that sort of thing. Just a really weird... But the thing is, he was still a likable guy, so you just didn't push it, right?
Well, are we saying there's a distinction between not saying the truth and telling a lie? And I'm not saying, like, not offering the truth. And telling
well, okay.
And telling
here's an untrue. Here's a similar thing that Poggy the Puppet threw out, right? It was this. Is there a difference between lying about a statistic, like you've done the research and then you lie about the statistic? Is there a difference between doing that and just saying a statistic that you think... I did say statistic there. Saying a statistic... that you figure is probably right, even though you've never researched it. And overwhelmingly, the people who voted said that lying on purpose about a statistic is worse. And so, in that way, right, even though I didn't ask them, you know, specifically about this, it was sort of a double-blind kind of thing. But, so if I get up and I say, I had the biggest turnout ever,
yeah.
Right? And it's just something I'm saying. I didn't really find out. I just figured I probably had the biggest one, so I said it. In the boundaries of that poll that I did, that would be better than finding out how many people were there and then saying, I had the biggest crowd ever. And so I really think that that's sort of the sort of path that we're on right now, where no one knows what the truth is, so my truth is probably just as good.
Well, there's another
as yours.
I think there's another element to that path, and it's getting up and saying, I had the biggest crowd ever, and whether or not you did the research, if you just believe it, I have the biggest crowd ever, that's fine. But then someone comes up and says, nah, we did the numbers, you didn't. And then you go back and say, you're lying.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? If your numbers don't match my thoughts, and this is a big thing about science in general, Ben. This is
Tell
nothing
me about
new.
Science.
Okay. The way that science works, Ben... is I state a hypothesis. I say, I think that this thing is true, right? And then I try my hardest to prove that it's not true, right? Well, or I think that this will happen. I try to prove that it won't happen all the time. And if I can't prove that it won't happen, then I've got a pretty solid theory, right? So basically the idea is that if you think something's true, you try to make it not true. If you think something is not going to happen. You try to make it happen. You try your best to wreck your hypothesis, right? That's the key.
Well,
and then after you try to wreck it and you say, well, I couldn't wreck this, you ask other people to wreck it. And then they try to wreck it.
It's the peer review.
And that's how science...
is what makes, yes, you know, makes it legitimate.
Where we are right now, right, it's the opposite. I think something's true, and I'm not going to listen to you when you tell me it's not.
Yeah.
If you had already tried to... We don't want to make our stuff wrong. We want to cling to it because it's good. I'm eating M&M's. I found them on a counter. They're M&M's, though. I know it because they have M's on.
Were they in a package or were they just out?
They're just sitting on the counter. Or dresser, I should say.
Dresser M&M's.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. That's really... So, yeah, oh, this is fake. I mean, the thing is, this is the other deal. If something's bigger than you can really conceive of, right? Well, 100,000 people did this.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really think of 100,000 people. The football was invented so that people could describe things by using the field as an example, really.
Yeah.
I think, in a lot of ways. It's as big as a football field. What's a football field? Oh, right.
Football field.
Guess we'll have to make a game called football. Exactly. So that was the big thing, is that if you get to a size that people just really can't conceive of, the idea that it's not true is just as good. You know, you can go, oh well, that isn't the case.
There were a million and a half people there.
I don't even know how much that is. I think the cat has a tick on her.
Are you sure it's not an M&M?
Yeah, pretty sure. There's a spot that is not good on her back here.
Uh-oh.
She won't let me touch it.
Is it... Does it look like it's an insect?
Well, I can't tell. That's the thing. I'm trying to look. But I can't see. Because, you know, she's got... Oh, there we go. What is that?
How's it looking?
Oh.
Is it squirming?
It's shiny.
Little legs?
And it's not moving, no.
Not moving?
But it's shiny.
Well, don't try to flick it off or it'll the head will come off. You got to grab the body and kind of twist and turn let's go.
Yeah, I don't think I'm there. And by that, I mean I don't think I'm at the point where that's something I can do. She's
you'll learn how to do it.
She's letting me touch her there, but she's not letting me. Oh, I almost saw it. See, cuz in order to get at it, I have to rub her fur the wrong way.
Oh, cats hate that.
She hates it. Okay, I'm getting close. I'm getting close, Ben. I'm looking. Okay. Nope. Just not doing it.
Today in the
show... She's got too much hair, Ben.
Today in the show, Paul and Ben's conversation is sidetracked by a tick on Paul's cat.
Yeah, I think it's a tick. I'm not positive, though. It's some sort of... It's either a tick or a wound of some kind.
She is an outdoor cat.
Sorry.
Right?
Yeah, she is.
All
right,
so maybe she ran into a fence or something. Could have gotten into a fight. Lots of trees, branches. It's possible.
She goes into a drain a lot.
Various injuries. What was that?
She goes into a storm drain a lot.
She goes into the storm drain.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. She's a weird cat.
That's where scary clowns live.
She'll lick the sidewalk for no reason.
Maybe it tastes good.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe there's salt there.
It tastes like cement.
Cement. Cement. So, yeah, Ben, I'm sorry that I keep talking about this, but it's,
Are you chasing the cat around the house trying to extract?
No, she's sitting right here. She's not taking off, but I just can't get to it. Ben, you have to see The Warriors. That's one movie you have to see, but there are other films that you haven't seen that you still should see also.
It came out during our podcast last night that I have yet to see The Guardians of the Galaxy.
What? Okay, that's something you should see.
I was told I needed to see it. I was told that it was the best Star Wars movie that George Lucas never made. That's how it was described to me.
See, I don't... Who described it that way? Was it Cole?
I think everybody. Cole and Chris, yeah.
Chris? Okay, so here's the thing. It's not a Star Wars movie. It's its own movie. It's great.
But it's not a Star Wars movie. I don't think they were talking about that literally. I think
No. But I, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's its own thing. There's some really important reasons why it's not a Star Wars movie. The whole concept of it being divorced from our galaxy is completely wrong. Gone. It's not there. Are they saying it's a hero's journey movie? Well, it is. For sure, but the main character is not a Luke Skywalker character. He's a Han Solo character.
Yeah.
And
you talking about the Star-Lord?
People say, well, what about Rocket Raccoon? No, he's like a smaller, meaner Han Solo. It's very difficult to describe. But yeah. It's not no, Ben.
I don't think they were talking about it in terms of direct analogs. I think the elements I think the elements of storytelling within Guardians of the Galaxy are far and away better than the elements of storytelling and maybe even direction of the prequels. I mean, that's not saying a lot because the prequels are pretty bad, but Guardians of the Galaxy what they said, and I'll have to go back and listen to the show because I haven't, when I edit it, but it's the Star Wars movie that George Lucas never made, I believe is a direct quote.
Hard disagree on that. I won't fight anybody on it, but
I'll let them know of your dissatisfaction with that.
That description does not work for me at all. All
right,
that's all I'm saying. Now I'm in a bad mood, Ben. Can't stand it. What are you talking about? How? Because it takes place in space?
Guess what, Paul?
Because there are a bunch
of aliens?
It's not
that big of a deal.
Maybe so.
Let it go.
No.
Let it go.
I had the... First, there was the guy who was the assistant manager at the Guild 45th. And now I've got this, Ben.
What about that dude that was cutting in line at the secret film fest?
This bumped him right out of the park. He is nothing. No, that guy was a completely different deal because I actually got into a physical altercation with him.
Yeah, so we've
not
heard...
not a big one. It was just him pushing me and me not moving.
Right.
Still though, different than anything else.
That's often how schoolyard fights start.
Yeah,
one kid pushes the other, but the other one doesn't refuses to be pushed.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, or not the other day. I was actually thinking about this today. What if I saw someone getting beat up by someone else? What would I do? Would I do anything?
Yeah.
And then I remembered, I've seen this. This has actually happened before when I was in Seattle. I would see people getting beat up sometimes. And I'll tell you what I will do is I will go a little ways away and call the police.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this, where we've had theoretical discussions on how far we would go to engage in something like that. Because I've seen fights myself, yeah. And I have not had the urge at all to jump in and try to separate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you don't... is it the same thing with me? You don't know what's going on?
You don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, yeah. I did see one fight on the freeway off-ramp from I-5 northbound to 45th Street. And there was a fight
Whoa.
On the corner. And it wasn't in the road, but it was right next to the road. And it looked like, from my viewpoint, I was a couple cars back, it looked like these people had jumped out of a car and had attacked somebody who was panhandling, because panhandlers stay there all the time.
Oh.
So it looked like it was like two or three guys on one, right? And then when the lights...
When was this that this was happening?
It was like 9, 10 o'clock at night. So it was dark.
9, 10 o'clock at night. And how long ago was it?
Like it was...
a week ago?
No. This was many, many years ago.
Okay.
And when the light turned green, the people, two of the guys jumped back into this car and the car sped off. And the guy who was getting beat up, who's putting up a pretty good fight himself. I mean, he wasn't laying down. He was trying his best. He was obviously yeah. beat up and bloody, but he wasn't like on the ground prone. He was up and stumbling yeah. around and stuff. So, you know, it's one of those Seattle things where everybody just drove away when the light turned green.
Yeah.
But ever since then, it kind of shook me. But and ever since then, whenever I took that exit, I expected to see a fight on that corner.
Did you ever see another fight on that corner?
Not on that corner. No, sir.
Yes. Answer the question. No,
but I have seen.
I don't know the way that you answered for just a second.
I have seen a couple more fights here on Capitol Hill late at night.
Recently, or
yeah,
just
you know, within the last few months, people tussling in the streets, and
now is it true? I remember at one point in time, Capitol Hill was sort of a. I mean, it wasn't like. Unrough. There were at times people, you know, getting tussled with or whatever. But has it turned more like fratty?
It has.
And I know that's a little bit of a stereotype, but
it's a well-deserved stereotype. No, it's very, you know, the New Yorkers call it the bridge and tunnel crowd. You know, the people who come here from Bellevue or from elsewhere to drink in the cool, hip Capitol Hill bars, right?
So is that what bridge and tunnel crowd mean? Okay.
Well, it's from New York, because to get to, I think, I don't know New York at all, but like to get to Manhattan from the other boroughs, you have to take a bridge or a tunnel. And so it's just a reference to the people who don't live here, but who come here to drink. And when they drink, they get drunk. Ah. And when they get drunk, they cause a disturbance.
Gotcha.
And so people who, you know, old-timer Capitol Hill kids who just want to, you know, have a cocktail at Purr have to put up with homophobic slurs coming from these, 20-year-old frat
guys.
That's
got to be weird.
Yeah,
that has got to be the craziest thing.
It's not just the bridge and tunnel crowd either. A lot of people are blaming the influx of Amazon, quote, brogrammers.
Oh, okay.
Entitled millennials who have more money than they deserve hanging around Capitol Hill and getting drunk.
Well, an interesting thing I've been hearing is that programming, coding specifically... Coding is going to become a blue-collar profession.
Yeah.
Which, to me, translates to not as high-paying as it used to be. I mean, that's what I think they're trying to do. I mean, because here's the thing, right? The job isn't going to change at all.
Yeah.
Right? It's just that they're going to be offering less money for it.
It's going to become a less specialized occupation.
Yeah. So,
you know, kids are beginning to code in elementary school, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, who knows, man? Maybe when I'm 60, it's all going to be, you know,
They'll put you to work in the coal mines.
Exactly. I'll be like, oh, this is fun. I get to ride in this mine car. No, but who knows, Ben? I mean, I honestly don't know if I'm going to make it to 60. I can't say. I used to have this concept of me living to be 80 years old.
Yeah.
Like it was for sure going to happen. And I realize now, oh, maybe not. Because I think about people who check out, you know, younger than me,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, right. Right. This self-concept of being around forever may not happen. Well, although I did find out one thing very interesting.
What's that?
I'm older than Alex Jones.
But you've lived a much better life and you're not as stressed and red-faced as he is.
Well, that's the thing, is I believe that I may be living a calmer life.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I don't know what's going to happen with Alex Jones. The longer Trump stays president, the more of a divide is possible between him and Alex Jones.
Do you think it's possible that if the longer Trump is president, that Alex Jones is going to become like a Glenn Beck character, where he was considered like the face of the loony right wing, but now when you listen to him talk, he almost sounds kind of reasonable?
Well, here's the thing that's kind of crazy. I brought this up before. Alex Jones was at one time thought of as kind of a lefty in a way.
Yeah, you did bring that up, and I have a hard time believing you, because I'd never heard of him before he like went on, I think, Piers Morgan's show on CNN and started spewing his lunacy.
Well, there was a time, you see, when he was totally against George W. Bush.
So he's just anti-authoritarian.
George W. Bush was the big bad. What's that?
He's just anti-authoritarian.
That's correct. Yes.
Doesn't matter who's in the office. They're the devil.
And see, that's right. That's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah.
That has been his MO up until this point. So we will see what happens. Don't know about Scientology either. What's going to happen with that?
Got to say, I don't keep up with what Alex Jones is saying. I know Steven listens to him, so Steven.
Oh, he does.
Steven actually, he listens to the show, and he actually emailed us at bensemail@yahoo.com, and he mentioned that he has finished watching Westworld, so we can freely talk about Westworld.
Well, I haven't said much about it lately.
No.
I think it's good. I like it. All right. Well, let's just.
I'm not saying we have to talk about it right now.
For Steven, though, I kind of want to talk about it. The Man in Black, the identity of the Man in Black, was kind of, you know, one of those things where you can watch it a second time and see stuff that you didn't see before,
yeah,
and that's kind of cool.
It holds up on repeat viewings. It certainly does.
Yes, yes, yes. Obviously, I liked the snake lady shooter person, whose name I can't remember. Hold on, it's...
Can't to get
it's,
it wrong.
It's
Paul.
On the tip of my tongue. Can't think of it.
Yeah.
It was like
anarchy or some sort of descriptive word like that. That wasn't it, but it was.
Yeah, it's not anarchy. It's a concept.
Yeah.
As a name.
Anyway,
and I should know it, but it's been a while since I've watched it. So
Steven's probably saying the name out loud to himself right now.
Yeah. The question is, you know, would you want to go to a place like that? And I don't think that this might be one of the things where being old, like, you know, there's an old, there's a thing about being old where you can't deal with programming the clock on your car or on your VCR or on your microwave. Right, that used to be a joke.
I always thought that that happened right when you had children.
Yeah, not being able to figure out how to use a mouse, you know, whatever. There's not getting slang, you know. There are all these things that are showing you. I think one of the things that might be in the future is how it's funny that mom and dad are really creeped out by robots.
Yeah, I was, you know, I think about this a lot because when I was when my dad was my age, I was in high school, and my parents had kids at a really young age, and I always I always think about what sort of technology is going to be like the computer of my parent or even my grandparents' generation, right? Like what piece of technology is going to just be so foreign? I can't even grasp a concept.
The thing that I really love. This guy once said, "I don't want to make the next personal computer. I want to make the next refrigerator." The concept of something that's so ubiquitous that everybody has one, no matter what. I think one of the things that might be that new appliance, that appliance of the future, would be a 3D printer of some kind. I don't think the 3D printers that we have now are going to be it, but a thing that generates stuff, a thing that creates objects.
A food replicator.
Well, a food replicator would be something for sure. But that's one of the other things is that the new technologies that we get might not be for the way that we live now. They might be for the way that we live in the future.
So it'll be an air purifier.
well, an air purifier, or this is one of the things that I keep thinking about. If you're in a spaceship, right?
Yeah.
The idea of wandering the spaceship like you do may not actually happen. You might just be in your room for the entire trip, kind of. And if that's the case,
personal toilets,
paying your air bill,
right?
Like you pay your water or whatever, or yeah, we're gonna need that money, or we're gonna shut your air off.
Oh, God.
Is a thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and it's that is gonna be pretty important. Oh, you know what I was thinking about the other day?
What were you thinking about the other day?
Normal.
Normal.
The thing that you, me, and Zach Lewis wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that was part of the thing. It was us thinking about what kind of things would happen in the future.
Right.
What kind of life would happen and stuff like that.
I liked that script. I think we did a good job on that script.
Yeah. Do you still have it?
I do.
I think that you should post it to the website so that people could read it.
Are you sure?
And young, impressionable people can...
Somebody might steal it from us. That's our IP, man.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I'll just post... I'll post the first 10 pages, but I'll leave the last couple pages off just so only we know how it ends.
Or actually, you don't even have to post it. You can just send it to me.
All right.
And I'll read it.
I know I have a hard copy somewhere, but I don't know if I have an electronic copy.
That's another thing that would be sort of cool is, I don't know, do you ever see Zach?
Only on Facebook. I last saw him
I mean,
a long, long time ago. He lives in Everett now.
Yeah, that's right. Once you go to Everett, that's it.
You never go back.
You see me as often as you see him.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yep. So that's pretty cool. Well, no, it's not. I mean, you know what I mean. It's cool that you and I see each other as much as if I had lived,
see,
you know, a little bit further
out.
I
don't see you at all, Paul.
Oh,
I can look at a picture of you while we're talking.
Google Cardboard, by the way, pretty cool. Have you seen it?
Google Cardboard.
Have you tried it? Yeah, it's a 3D viewer for your iPhone.
I did not see that, but I did see a sketch video of two guys who try it out.
Ah.
And it's well, this I is the VR you, thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah. they were not impressed.
Well, wait, but it was a sketch, like they were doing something funny with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they were being funny.
Oh, okay. Well, in real life, it's pretty cool. Hey, Betty! Betty!
Crap, I gotta think of a question.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. If Betty were to conference in...
Oh, jeez.
Betty, bring your phone.
Okay.
If she were to conference in and talk into this microphone... You could still split us like we normally did, right?
No, because I would have good audio quality.
She'd be talking.
Yeah, you two would still be on the same channel.
Channel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me see your phone, buddy.
Okay.
Hey. So, Ben, I'm going to call you on Betty's phone, and I want you to conference us in.
All right. Hang on. I may hang up because I don't believe I've ever conferenced anybody in before, but let's give it a shot.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, okay, so here we go.
So I think what you do is when you call, I hit hold call and answer, and then when I'm talking to her, right, hold and accept, and then merge calls. All right, so we should be all together. Are we all together?
Okay, Betty, talk on the phone. No, don't put it on speaker.
Hello.
Betty, can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah. Conference. All right.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All righty. Ooh, and I can
I can hear myself. Bum, 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 bum.
It's a weird...
Okay, this may not work
It's a weird echo I'm getting.
Yeah, what? I think it's because you're hearing me on her phone.
Oh, yeah, because you guys are standing right next to each other, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
All right. So fun experiment. But,
okay, sorry. Stop laughing. Stop laughing. It's too late.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to should I hang up on Betty?
No, don't hang up on Betty. Go ahead and ask your question. We're going to try to do this.
Betty, what? So you have a new phone. What games do you have on your phone?
A whopping none.
None? That's what a phone is for.
But I usually use my phone time for YouTube, and also I don't really have games yet. Oh my gosh, I love this.
All right.
All right, well, there we go. Thanks, Betty. We'll see you later.
All right, all right.
Okay, hang up on her. Hang up on her. Ben, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, can you hang up on her?
Okay, I will. Hang on.
It's more difficult than...
And boom.
Something's happening.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
Well, that was a fun experiment.
Yeah, that was good. It'd be great to maybe not do that ever again. But we'll see. All right. So, I'm getting a call.
Oh, geez.
Hold on. I'm just going to have to... All right, hold on, Ben. This will be just a second.
Okay, so he's hung up on me, and he's probably...
So, hey, there you go.
Yeah, are we conferenced? Okay, sounds like we're all conferenced now.
All right, so, Ben?
Paul?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I think it's best if we go now.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay, well, keep it wrong, Ben.
Keep it wrong, Paul. All right.
Oh, God.
Talk to you guys later.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, I'll see you, Ben.
Yep, bye.
I'm going to stop this.
Oh, man, cut that off.